go. This is like a sequel, if you will.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie on a Friday morning, a football Friday, getting ready for the Eagles and the Bucks. Let's hope it's not whatever it was last year. What, 32-9 or something like that?
Correct.
Holy mackerel. You know, I had to, you know, put together a bathtub time machine last night. Let me tell you what, it's not today. Eagles-Bucks history.
It's want, not good.
I want no parts of
Thank
that.
You.
No, no one
that.
Wants to hear that.
No.
All right. And by the way, as bad as last year was, 1/50th as painful as O2.
Yep. Well, 50th isn't enough. 1/1000th, maybe.
James, all right, James, let me ask you this question. Your lifetime, you've seen the Bucks, 0-2. You've seen the Eagles lose 2 Super Bowls in your lifetime. You have seen Joe Carter. You've seen the Kawhi Leonard shot. You've seen the Patrick King goal and others. Which, for you, was the worst?
So, I have two. I mean, Joe Carter is uncomparable to anything else. I was 12 years old, you know, so I can't.
Did you cry immediately?
Yeah, bawling. My mom had to console me on the, like, I remember it so vividly. Yeah. Like, nothing can compare to being a child like that. But in my later years, my adult life, so to speak, I thought that Tampa Bay was going to be the worst. But for me, losing to the Chiefs was worse because it felt like, I know going into the Tampa game, that was our game to win.
Yeah.
But once the game started, as soon as Deuce scored, everything else, it was like, oh no, this isn't going the way we wanted. Like, we had the Chiefs Super Bowl. Like, that was ours. We won. And there were so many little dumb things that you could point to for the reason they lost.
So the reason I don't go with that even, to me, that's not even close for me, because the Eagles had won a Super Bowl a few years before that. Which, in my opinion, changed the equation quite a bit. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Tone Love in Philadelphia. Tone, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Tone Love.
Hey, yeah, that's me. Yeah. I
so we haven't him. Heard from you before, Tone Love.
Yeah, I was.
I like it.
Yeah, I go back with Ange, and I've been a super fan of the Phillies. I grew up in South Philly.
Awesome. Nice, man.
My group's Tough Crew. We're one of the biggest rap groups out of Philly from the golden era. And you guys might know Monty G. He's a super fan.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. Love Monty G.
He's from my group. Shout out to Monty G, too. But I'm the guy that did Bring It Home for Jerome back in the day.
Well, that's special.
Oh, wow.
Tone, that's special. You know, Tone, let me tell you something. When I went to the Final Four 2 years ago, New Orleans, Nova, Duke, Carolina, and Kansas. And because it was played in that stadium, I wore my Jerome jersey because, you know, that's where the Eagles finally got a playoff win that year when they were trying to bring it home for Jerome.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I'm still with him, man, and I've been feeling like they need a little booster shot. So I did another song for him I called Gangrene.
Nice.
And I wanted to give that to you guys first to check out. So
I appreciate it. Well, if you can, email Seltzer. I'll put you on hold. Get to Seltzer.
Yeah, put him on hold. I'll grab him.
And we'll listen to it, and if it meets the mark, we'll play it.
That's right, awesome, yeah, cool. Tone Love.
Thank you, Rose. And I wanted to, hey, Devin, good morning, too. I wanted to comment a little bit on the Eagles. My answer for the sequels would be, the guy, I think his name was Merovingian. He was in the Matrix sequel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the Architect.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a character that is.
Personally, I think Hyman Roth would have been a better answer, but that's okay.
I can't believe you took Hyman Roth. That was one of the winning. I had like 5 winning answers. Hyman Roth was one of them.
I got someone from a Matrix sequel. Hyman Roth was on the board. Bang! No longer. But that's all right. All right, Tone Love, give me your Eagles point.
I'm kind of a little skittish. I don't feel super great about them. I definitely know we could have won that Falcons game, but I hope we don't get into a pattern of losing the games we win and winning the games we lose. You know how they do that sometimes? The games you expect they're going to have a harder time with, they win and then
that's
they lose.
Known as the Buddy Ryan era.
I don't think that this – yeah.
Wow.
Seriously. I think this team
is going to rise above
that.
What a good call.
Right?
And I was around for that. So
yeah, Tony, you know what I'm – dude, I remember losing to the Cardinals, the freaking Colts 1 year. It's like, you got to be kidding me. All right, Tone, you're a great caller. Call us as often as you can, man.
Put him on hold.
I'm going to put you on hold. You talk to Seltzer. Let's hear from Jason Kelce right now. So Kelce on our show every Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. Now, what we're about to play happened very end of him being with us. Actually, it was about 8:35, I believe, yesterday. And he gave us an extensive answer on some stuff with Sirianni we've wondered about for a long time. This is about 3 minutes long. Listen to Kelce. We'll react. Here's Jason Kelce yesterday to us on Nick Sirianni.
What is it
that you see that we don't see as much that gives you more belief in Nick than many other people
have? Yeah, well, I see him every day, where I did. Right. Yeah. I have a personal relationship with the guy, and you see his investment in the team. You see his willingness and ability to make the team better regardless of what's at stake, whether it's personally for him. It might not even be the best interest in him, the way he answers a question in the media, the way he gives up play calling, all of these things that he's done in the past and is still doing shows me that he has an accountability to the team to do what's in the best interest of those guys. He truly loves his players, and he is doing the best he can in trying to make the team better. And I think that by and large, he's doing a great job of that over his entire tenure. Obviously, last year, we struggled. We struggled big time on offense and defense. We replaced coordinators. We replaced one coordinator in the middle of the season. Yeah. And everything that happened with players gone and coaches in didn't work. But I think that he's had a very successful tenure, and I think that a lot of that comes down to his competitiveness, his desire to be the best coach he can be and improve, and he's continuing to do that. And I saw that on a day-to-day basis. You see it as he – I don't want to say cover – the way he answers questions in the media, guys respect that. And then he also keeps guys accountable. I'm not messing with – I'll say this wholeheartedly. He's the best team meeting coach I've ever been around.
Wow.
Like, and I wasn't with Bill Belichick. I know Bill
because
would do similar
things. Because he held your attention?
Yeah. Well, and I was also young with Andy, so I wasn't, like, evaluating Andy Reid as a head coach in team meetings. Like, I was just like, whatever you want me to do. I'm a first-year player, right? Like, I'm not in that mold at that point in my career. Hmm. But, no, he would hold guys accountable. He's showing plays. He's showing what you did well and pointing it out and celebrating it. And he's showing where we need to improve at and what went wrong in the game. And he's putting his name up there. He's putting my name up there. He's putting defensive players' names up
calling
there.
Calling everyone not, out if they deserve it.
And it's not like a calling out. It's just like, hey, we're being accountable here. We need to improve this. And like, there's something about that happening in a team meeting when everybody's watching that it means a lot more. There's a level of openness that, okay, everybody is seeing that the D-line struggled in this. Right? Because when it doesn't happen in the team meeting, like, everybody kind of knows it, but it's not apparent. Like, now we're going to show this. We're going to show somebody losing a one-on-one in a practice in front of the whole team. So,
and that's
you're
going to
go out there the next day.
Yeah.
Do you want to be embarrassed in front of all your peers
right
in the next meeting? So, I think he does a lot of things really well. He's certainly not perfect, but I just really have appreciated those aspects of him.
Do you think that players, because he is holding practices that are 45 minutes, you know, that is kind of nice. You know, you guys are appreciative of that side.
Correct.
He is kinder, gentler. Mm-hmm. Does that influence the way you feel about Nick because he's easy?
I think that regardless of whether a coach is, I guess, I don't like kinder or gentler. There's all coaches have their own way of coaching. I have seen Jim Washburn say some things to D linemen that I'm like, you couldn't say today. Like, I saw him say stuff I saw him say stuff to D linemen where, like, dude, that's like, what are you doing right now? Guys loved him, and they would have run through a brick wall for Jim Washburn. It more comes down to, at the end of the day, does the player feel like this guy really cares about me, and does he want the best out of me? And however you get to that. Now, I don't think that people just like Nick Sirianni because the practices are easy. I don't think that at all. I think that, and this year, they're not. They've been practicing harder this year than they ever have under his tenure. And the guys want to improve at the game. They might hate practicing hard at times, but at the end of the day, people want to get better. And when the coach is doing it with the right intentions and he's genuine and it's not some show, which I've seen as well, which that's way more annoying. A guy going up in front of a team and ripping people, if it's deserved and it makes sense and it's true, very seldom is that an issue. When it's an issue is a guy's going up there and ripping somebody when he made a bunch of other mistakes, or he's doing it to like somehow like elicit some response. That's when it's a problem.
All right, that's Jason Kelce yesterday. Really interesting, you know, combination of answers there on Sirianni, and ultimately a pretty big endorsement. Your reaction to that? our reaction to that.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.